this bright hour I speak your name in the wind. The shining world outlasts us all. Even the mountains seem to know you're gone. The foothills shimmer where they stand. The sky is still and much too
And though I'll see the static bar in time, we remember who we are and sing our people's songs of yesterday. And now, as I take your hand, we walk upon the golden sands and think of a long lost home far away.
May the blessing of light be upon you, light on the outside, light on the inside. With God's sunlight shining on you, may your heart glow with warmth like a turf fire that welcomes friends and strangers alike. May the light of the Lord shine from your eyes like a candle in the window, welcoming the weary traveler. May the blessing of God's soft rain be on you, falling gently on your head, refreshing your soul with the sweetness of little flowers newly blooming. May the strength of the winds of heaven bless you, carrying the rain to wash your spirit clean, sparkling after in the sunlight. May the blessing of God's earth be on you, and as you walk the roads, may you always have a kind word for those you meet. Understand the strength and power of God in a thunderstorm in winter, and the quiet beauty of creation in the calm of a summer sunset. And may you come to realize that, insignificant as you may seem in this great universe, you are an important part of God's plan. May he watch over you and keep you safe from harm.
Thank you for the Bible, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your prophets, Lord, and the truth that we have heard. And we praise you for your Spirit, Lord, you send to comfort us. But most of all, we praise you for the blood of Yahshua. Gracious Heavenly Father, righteous Heavenly Father, God of gods and no other, I praise you. Savior, O Israel's kinsman. thank you for the Bible, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your prophets, Lord, and the truth that we have heard. And we praise you for your Spirit, Lord, you send to comfort us. But most of all, we praise you for the blood of Yahshua.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the 24th day of July, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Psalm 112. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Prinhanda Cumriambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. On that website, we do have some archives of current broadcasts going back to 2021. I've removed all the older ones because I don't believe many folks were listening to them anyway. If there is an older one you're interested in, there's a link on the page. That'll take you to a master directory. If there's an old program you'd like to hear, you can contact me and I'll send you an MP3 file of that program. The Daily Mail page, of course, is where we put current events and current information due to or dealing with health and what's going on in the world, also research material, blah, and things such as that. The homepage is for information on how you can help us out financially, and the Contact Us page is for those who do not have my personal contact information, and you can reach me through that. Okay, we're going to go straight into Psalm 112, and then we're going to go into a little bit of a Bible study for today. I do have to admit, though, it was kind of weird this morning. I got up, and usually it's pretty clear to me where the Father wants me to go, either the night before or the next morning. Today, for some reason, it wasn't as clear as usual. And I'm beginning to wonder if we are getting closer to that period where Yahweh told us that he would close down the sounding of the alarm, the watchman would be told to stand down. The word has gotten out, the information's gotten out, and so further information would only put the watchman at risk. So we have to keep that in mind. At some finite point in time, that's going to happen. So apparently not today, but again, that doesn't mean that it won't. Ella, thank you very much. I appreciate that. So anyway, just keep it in mind. He did tell us, and so it's going to happen at some point. So we'll go to Psalm 112. This is an acrostic poem, which means in the original language, each of the verses start with a different letter of the ancient Hebrew. And let's remember, ancient Hebrew is not Yiddish. It is not the language of the Jews. It is not the alphabet of the Jews. It is our language, our alphabet. Praise Yah, short name for Yahweh, of course. Blessed is the man who fears Yahweh. Blessed is the man who fears Yahweh. Now, does that mean afraid? Or does it mean reverences? Has fear that if you're outside of his will, things are not going to go well for you. A lot of people today mistake that. It could easily have been translated reverence or obedience. So blessed is the man who reverences or fears Yahweh, who delights greatly in his commandments. Remember when Yahshua walked the earth and he said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Now, in the Ten Commandments, we're told there's one and only one God. Are we not? So, you know, I was talking to my niece recently, and she's been going to church a lot, and she was talking about the triune God, meaning Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which, of course, came from the Catholic Church, which is an abomination. And I told her, I said, there's only one Elohim. There's only one El Shaddai. Okay, Elohim Shaddai, meaning Lord God. So it is his commandments, because the New Age people that have created a false Christ, they're going to tell you that there's only one commandment, the great commandment, and that's to love everybody. You know, God is love, Jesus is love, 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 just love everybody. And so they direct you away from his commandments. And yet Yahshua himself said, obey my commandments. Yahweh walking this earth as the anointed to preach the true message of our Father to his children. So the commandments are, there are no new commandments. The commandments have always been there. There are his rules, his laws. They do not change. They do not go away. That is a lie. Just like the laws of nature. Have they changed over the centuries? Of course not. You can't change them. His offspring, now we're talking about the people who both love the Father and delight in his rules, regulations, and commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Why is the world cursed today, do you think? Especially here in the United States, where we should be the light shining to this dark world. Instead, we're the leaders in atrocities and crimes against humanity. Why is that? Because we're no longer blessed. We no longer fear the Almighty. In fact, today's people don't even believe he exists at all. Wealth and riches are in his house. His righteousness endures forever. Don't see that much today, do we? Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. Okay, now how many people want light in the darkness today, but they don't want to be the upright? They don't want to be the righteous. They want it just given to them. So light dawns in the darkness for the upright, gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals graciously and lends. Remember, it's the lender that is blessed. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not be afraid of evil news or wicked news. We could use that today, couldn't we? That's all we hear is bad things, pretty much. So Psalm 112 is talking about he who loves the Father and delights in his laws will not be afraid of wicked or evil news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in Yahweh, the great I Am. There's your secret on how to deal with today, with all this inundation of information. Some of it's true, some of it's not. You have to have discernment. His heart is established. He will not be afraid in the end when he sees his adversaries. He has dispersed. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. Do you think the wicked are grieved by those of us who know and live the identity message? Yeah, we're a gigantic thorn in their side. They hate us. He shall gnash with his teeth. This is talking about the wicked. And melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. So again, are we supposed to be afraid of the New World Order and these this cabal that exists, this evil? No, we're here to destroy it. Our job right now is to identify it and share it with everybody that we can share it, those that will listen. Now, granted, there's a lot of people that don't. Angel sends this in here. John chapter 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. Amen. Amen. When you see me, you see the Father. What do you think he's talking about? The church world, the organized church world, has everything upside down. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about this morning. I don't plan on this being a very long discussion today, unless the Holy Spirit takes over. But we got to keep it simple in this day of complications and misinformation that we're just drowning in a famine for the truth. Okay, so we don't have a famine for information. In fact, we have just the opposite. We have oceans, thanks to the internet and computers. We have oceans of information, but how much of that information is true? And that's one reason I wanted to go into a short Bible teaching lesson here on one particular commandment that has been totally obliterated by the modern day church world. Okay? The average person may be 1 in 1,000. It might be as bad as 1 in 10,000 knows this simple truth. And again, we have talked about this many times. If each of us would live according to just the 10 basic commandments, what a different world this would be. And that's all, just 10. You don't have to study the whole book. Just go to Exodus and look up the 10 basic commandments. Now, that being said, you need the accurate translation of those 10 commandments, which the modern day church world, of course, can't do it. For instance, real quick, we'll talk about thou shalt not kill. And I've told the story how I was a young man in the Methodist church and I attended Sunday school and church every Sunday. My mother made sure we all got there. And I remember asking, how can it be that thou shalt not kill when we kill enemy soldiers to defend our nation? We kill criminals when we catch them, murderers and rapists, at least back in the 50s when I was a boy. We still executed people for capital crimes. Of course, the Jews came along and totally destroyed that whole premise. But back then, we still did it. Okay, so thou shalt not kill, and yet we do it all the time. So there's a contradiction here. And I had scratched my head, but in all those years in the Methodist church, do you think anybody ever talked to me about a concordance where you could look up the original Greek and Hebrew words? No, not one time. I didn't find out about a concordance until I was in my 30s. Until I had attended Methodist churches and later Baptist churches, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Assemblies of God, etc., etc. And again, nobody in all those churches and all those years, nobody ever said, hey, let's get the concordance out and tear this thing down. Now, you would think that that would be a priority. If you want to obey the living God, shouldn't you know his thoughts on the matter versus the church doctrine or the church dogma? So come to find out that the original did not say thou shalt not kill. It said thou shalt not commit murder. Now, I had a young lady one time said to me, well, what's the difference? Well, there's a big difference. Murder is the act of killing, yes. But it is a specific act. Murder is the shedding of innocent blood, and that definition is found within Scripture. That's murder. Murder is taking an innocent life. When a person breaks into your home, they are not innocent. So killing an intruder is not murder. When somebody kidnaps your child and you shoot them, that's not murder. When somebody rapes your daughter and you catch them and shoot them, that's not murder. When somebody commits treason against your nation and you put a bullet in them, that's not murder. Is it starting to sink in a little bit? So, thou shalt not commit murder. Now, whose law do you think our father was referring to in the commandment, taking an innocent life? Whose law do you think he's referring to that determines whether you're, quote, guilty or innocent? Do you think he cares about legislation? Do you think he cares about what's legal? No, he does not. He cares about lawful. And Ella has here that Exodus chapter 20 contains a commandment. So thank you, Ella. Okay. Legal is just what a bunch of cretins and miscreants put together on paper, which today our governments are kakistocracies run by the most immoral, idiotic, insane, retarded people walking the earth. So do you think our Heavenly Father gives one rat's rear end about those people and what they put on paper? Of course not. He's talking about his rules, his regulations. They determine innocent or guilt. So again, a mistranslation of a singular verse has created the chaos we have today, which is interesting because we were told about Mystery Babylon in the book of Revelation and elsewhere, and we're in the period of Mystery Babylon. Mystery doesn't mean you don't know it. It's the fact that it's right in front of you and most people can't see it. Esoteric, so to speak. Okay? That's the mystery. And the word Babylon, of course, comes from Hebrew, Babel, or Babel. And it means confusion caused by admixture. And admixture is what we're going to talk about today, because it applies to the word adulterate and adultery. So Babel and Babylon in the Greek are from the same root word, which means confusion caused by admixture, meaning bringing things together that do not belong together. That's admixture. It is also the word adulterate. I'm going to read you from the WordWeb dictionary. For the verb adulterate, corrupt, debase, or make impure by adding a foreign or inferior substance, often by replacing valuable ingredients with inferior ones. Now, anybody that's ever done word studies, you know it's called etymology. And if you do the etymology of this word, it comes from the same root, the same ancient words. that you get adultery, adulterate, adulteration, adulterer. They're all from the same root. And yet in the modern dictionaries, and even in some of the lexicons, they'll try to tell you that the ancient words were talking about fornication with a married woman. Are you kidding me? Fornication with a married woman. In fact, the Greek word mukesus, which Pastor V as in Victor, S as in Sierra, Harrell, H-E-R-R-E-L, wrote a small book called The Sixth Law of God, because this law in the commandments in the Septuagint is number 6. In your English Bibles, it's often number 7. But in the original Septuagint, it was the sixth law. And that's the title of his book. Thank the Father that many years ago, I was led to buy this book from Pastor Harrell, and I read it. I devoured it because it made so much sense. Pastor Harrell went into great detail about the Greek word mukesus and what it meant in ancient Greek. And he used biblical and extra-biblical material to prove that mukesus was the Greek word that we use adulterate today. But you see, sorcery that we were warned about the Jews and what they would do, the Antichrists, they use word magic, which is a form of sorcery. And they twisted and turned the definitions and changed all of the reference materials to get you to think it has to do with the marital status of the woman you're sleeping with, which is absolute and total bullshit. It has nothing to do with the marital status. It has everything to do with who the woman gives herself to. Interestingly enough, I did not have time to read them, but some reports came into my on my desk today where scientific studies are talking about the fact that a woman carries the DNA material of the men she sleeps with. So within her body, she's carrying the DNA fingerprint, so to speak, of her lover, which is supposed to be her husband. Now, why do you think all through the ages, women's wombs were considered a sacred place? A holy, remember the word holy means separated, consecrated to the Father. Her womb was considered holy, not to be penetrated and not to be adulterated, but by her husband. Why do you think that is? Because within her body, that DNA material is being stored. It has nothing to do with pregnancy. It has to do with the fact that the DNA material within the man's sperm is going to be absorbed into the woman's body. That is why the commandment was that they were to be chaste and the wife of but one man. So there's a reason for this. I know a lot of people are sitting out there going, oh, there you go again. Men are allowed to fool around, but women aren't. Well, folks, the way you were created had nothing to do with me. I had nothing to do with it. And you just need to know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Whether you like it or not, that's different. Now, today, the beast system, the Antichrists, are telling everybody that they can be the same, women can do the same thing as men do, etc. But you can't violate the laws of nature and get away with it. You can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of your ignoring of the truth. That's a fact of life. If you believe otherwise, you're a fool. Okay? So, ladies, if you want to sleep around because you think somehow that makes you liberated and independent and you can do what the men do, okay, well, yeah, you can do that, but you're not going to do away with the consequences of your behavior. Do you think maybe that's why we have so many defects and birth problems today, maybe? Do you think maybe that's part of the plague that the scriptures talk about at the end times that you're not supposed to partake in? It's why in the book where the story of Phinehas is talked about, Phinehas and the other men of Israel, when they put the javelins through the race mixers, they, what did they do? Oh, that's right. They put the plague away from Jacob Israel. Yeah, that plague. Okay, the one that the church world today tells you doesn't exist. You can sleep with anybody you want. You can fool around. You can have 25 lovers. It doesn't matter. Just come down and put your money in the plate. You're good to go. God loves everybody. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, again, you have this opportunity to do whatever you want. It's called free will. You can violate his law all you want. But please don't be deceived into thinking there are no consequences of your disobedience. So here again, just a couple changes to critical commandments have completely changed the world that we live in. If we could just get the Ten Commandments properly translated, what a different world. Criminals would be dead. Violent criminals would be dead. And almost all crime would disappear. Yeah, it would. Okay? All we have to do is arm the men, as the scripture tells us we're supposed to be, not disarmed, but armed, and obey God's law and put the rapists and the murderers and the kidnappers and the pedophiles and the traitors in the ground. Execute them as God told us to do, and your world becomes a cleaner place immediately. Okay? Ella sends in here that men and women married for many decades begin to look alike. Is this due to the shared DNA of the husband? It could very well be. I've never looked into that, but it could very well be. The point of it is, the scripture says, two become one. Isn't that what it says? They become one flesh. That could go along with what Ella is saying here right now. So they become one flesh by the act of intercourse, but over time, they are becoming one flesh. Now, again, many people don't want to hear the truth. Well, that's not my problem. But are men capable of loving and caring for more than one woman? Yeah, they are. That's just the way it is. Just the way it is. You got to remember, in the Garden of Eden, during the time of the falling away by Adam and Eve, the curse was put upon Eve that her obedience would be to her husband. Her desire would be to her husband. That's why when a woman sleeps with a man at the subconscious level, that man becomes her husband. Because marriage is the sex act in Scripture. Has nothing to do with a piece of paper, has nothing to do with the justice of the peace. It sure as hell has nothing to do with a ceremony at a church. Sorry, but it doesn't. It has everything to do with when you spread your legs and allow a man's entrance, you have married that man. At the DNA level, at the subconscious level, at the scriptural level. That is just a fact of life. And again, you can choose to ignore it. Yeah, go ahead. Many people have. But please don't be deceived into thinking that you can avoid the consequences of your disobedience. We're living in it right now. The cesspool we live in is because God's law has been thrown into the trash can. The organized mainstream churches are the guilty parties, and these prostitutes claiming to be teachers of God's word in the mainstream churches, particularly the Roman Catholic, are also guilty of this heresy. And now the people suffer because of this disobedience of these basic, very basic rules. So again, if you don't have a copy of Pastor Harrell's Sixth Law of God, I have a word copy of it that I obtained years ago. I have a hard copy here on my shelf as well, but I'm finding that it's getting harder and harder to find it. So if you need a copy of it, contact me. I'll be glad to email it to you. If you send me a little thumb drive, I'll put it on there. I'll put anything else you need on there. Books, music by Jonathan David Brown, Carl Klang. I'm here to help the Jacob Israel people get back to our Father and His law. That's what I'm here for. The rest of humanity can choose to obey or not. If you obey, you will be blessed, just as the book says. Those who blessed Abraham were in turn blessed, were they not? So the other races, if they hear the words and obey, they can also receive a blessing. They don't become part of my family. They don't inherit the promises that the Father gave to Jacob. No. But they can be blessed. They can have a better life. They can have a fruitful life. They can have a disease-free life. They can have beautiful offspring, children. But those who chose to disobey will not. You will continue down this slippery slope into the abyss that the Jews are clapping their hands over down at the synagogue, that the world has believed them to be the purveyors of truth. And thanks again to the church world that's supposed to be the watchman on the wall warning the rest of us, and instead they are actually the whores riding on the beast in the book of Revelation. The great whore, the Roman Catholic Church, of course, is numero uno, number one. And all of the denominations that sprang forth from the whore are part of it as well. Okay. So again, we are led into disobedience. We are led into this sick, demented world that we live in with all of the problems that come along with it. Because again, we can't even get 10 basic simple rules right. And they do make it difficult, because I've looked through my lexicons. I've looked through the electronic Strong's and Brown Drivers and Biggs and Thayer's and all the other lexicons, and they have adulterated, they have obfuscated the truth by putting in the Jewish definition of adultery today. But again, thanks to the work of Pastor Harrell and his church, who did the deep dive into the ancient manuscripts of both biblical and extra-biblical material, we know that this is a lie, and we can go to a modern dictionary like I just did and look up the word adulterate, and it's right there. To corrupt or debase or make impure by adding a foreign or inferior substance. What does the scripture say about that? Don't mix the holy seed with the unholy. Oh, Dan, that's spiritual. Really? Really? So all of this disease and these bastards, these mamzers, these half-breeds that are walking around with all of their mental problems and physical problems, that has nothing to do with it. It's a spiritual thing? So the high crime rate with all the hybrids that are out there, that's all spiritual? I choose to believe other. I believe it is a direct result of our ignorance of His Word. So today there is much confusion. We are in Mystery Babylon because we have adulterated His Word. We have mixed things that do not belong together. We have mixed God's law with legalities or man's law, as if man has the right to overrule the Almighty. And people are going along with it. To their chagrin, they are going along with it. Shame on us for giving any credibility to these miscreants posing as our rulers, posing as our representatives, when nothing could be further from the truth. They are the virus today. governments, man-made governments, are the virus. And praise be to the Father, the world is starting to wake up. I'm seeing videos that are being posted from the Netherlands, from Southeast Asia, from Sri Lanka, let's see, where, from Holland, from Ireland, from the UK, Canada, the United States, where people are carrying big banners saying the virus is the government. The world is waking up. Hallelujah. 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 And again, we don't care about numbers. Numbers don't matter. As I was telling a relative of mine recently, General Stonewall Jackson of the American Civil War, or the War of Northern Aggression, as it should have been called, I love his quote, "Duty belongs to us. The consequences belong to our Father." Okay? Remember that. Duty is our responsibility. The consequences of us doing our duty are in the hands of the Almighty. Do not forget that. Ella has another comment here. "As with all males, man marks his territory with his DNA. A woman accepts his, quote, mark with sexual intercourse and becomes his wife." Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But again, here's the problem that we're having today. Women understand this one. Trust me, I talk to a lot of men and women almost on a daily basis. Women get this concept, okay? That's especially the older women, the more logical women, the women that are grounded in Scripture, okay? They get that. They get that. And they have no problem with that. It's the problem with the man being a patriarch of a family with more than one wife. Now all of a sudden, I call it the Eve syndrome, as in Eve in the garden. Okay, Eve, her obedience and desire was for her husband. That is a normal response. So women, that is normal within the women to want to cleave to and hang on to. But today it goes beyond that. They want to possess the man. The cleaving onto the man is natural. The possession of the man is of Satan, is of the adversary. It is evil. Ladies, you do not possess real men. You might possess soy boys and cucks, but you will never possess a real Yahweh-fearing man. It's impossible. I'm just telling you, okay? I've seen the heartache and misery, not only in my own life, but I've been a counselor since I was in my teens. I used to counsel guys at my bunk during basic training in the United States Air Force. I was 19 years old. They called me the preacher back then, because I had a Bible right there. I read it every night. And the men in the dark of night would come and wake me up and want to talk to me. And we would talk about biblical things. Of course, at 19 years old, I didn't have anywhere near the knowledge I should have had. But that's not the point. They were seeking answers. They wanted counsel. And because of that long history of counseling people, I've heard the stories. I'm speaking to you from that position today, and I don't want to hear this, "Well, Dan, you just want to be a polygamist. You just want multiple women because you're a nasty boy," and that's what men are. They're just pigs. They're just dogs. Do you know how many times I've heard that from the unsaved, the unwashed? Real men, that's not what it's all about. Okay, are there animals out here that look like men, but they're just males, bags of bones that are equipped like men? Yeah, in that realm out there, that's probably true. They're just pigs or dogs. But I'm not talking about them. They don't love the Father. They don't love women, actually. They don't love anything except satisfaction. They're just out for a quickie to get satisfaction. Whereas real men understand this concept, and they're not going to be doing that. They are going to be looking for the real women out there and forming unions that create a very powerful patriarchal family. Because the scripture supports this, but so does reality. If there is a righteous man and he is supported by righteous women who lift him up as the man of the house and of the family, he is going to be much more powerful than the poor guy out there that's either all by himself or is only supported by one woman, and she doesn't support him very much, really. Now, that doesn't mean there can't be a case where a man and a single woman are having a very spirit-filled and powerful ministry. Yeah, that's possible. The scripture supports that, too. But that's not the problem. Everybody agrees with that one because the Jews, through the propaganda centers, have created that in you, that you have no problem with monogamy. But as soon as the word polygamy comes up, it's almost like saying Adolf Hitler or the German SS or Nazi Germany or any of the other brainwashed terms that get you to react a certain way. And if you don't think I'm telling you the truth, just go out and try it. Even amongst our people, go out and bring up certain topics like circumcision and polygamy, okay? And just see what kind of response you get. See if it isn't a dirty look and an argument right out of the gate before they hear any of your logic or any of your reference material. They'll immediately give you their answer. That's a sign of brainwashing. Same thing with natural birth, telling people to have their children at home with a midwife and allow the woman to have a natural birth as God intended. Oh, Dan, no, you can't do, really? So for thousands of years, the women had natural births, but that's bad all of a sudden? And this absolutely insane way we're doing it today is the way it should be done? Really? The butchering of little baby boys? Mutilating baby boys is somehow godly? How do you figure? Oh, because it's in the Bible. Oh, that's right. The English word. Oh, yeah. Much like the word thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, yeah. Those are in English, too. And completely wrong. So is your definition of circumcision. Completely wrong. And there are verses even in your English Bible, in the New Testament too, that can tell you that it's wrong if you read it with discernment. So again, these little untruths are hindering our people like no tomorrow. These are just a couple of them, but today we have tremendous confusion, again, because we don't go to the root words. We don't go to the source documents and understand the language that they had, okay? It's really that simple, folks. I'll tell you. My greatest accomplishment when I was 30, besides giving myself to the Father completely and to the work of Yeshua, but he immediately led me to get into word studies using concordances. I started out, of course, with the Strong's, but the Strong's is very truncated definitions. Whereas if you go to Thayer's and Brown Drivers and Biggs and other lexicons such as those, they go into much more detail. In fact, it's through those hard copy dictionaries or lexicons is where I found out that Eve's sin in the garden was sexual. It had nothing to do with a piece of fruit. Okay? Absolutely nothing to do with eating fruit. It had everything to do with laying on the ground and having sex. Again, with somebody she should not have had sex with. So it goes clear back to the beginning. And again, too, we have to understand something. Our people, for most of their existence, did not carry Bibles with them, did they? They did not have access to Scripture like we have today. That's a relatively recent thing. And yet, we've got people walking around, and I've dealt with these people. The King James Version is the Word of God, Dan. Really? King James, huh? Well, that's in English. The people that wrote the Scriptures didn't speak English. Well, yeah, but God had that King James Bible written, Dan. Well, why in the hell did he put the errors in there then? Why did the Father allow them to put errors in there? Oh, no, there's no errors in there, Dan. Well, we just talked about errors, did we not? Is there anybody that's going to refute what I said about those Scriptures? Because I'm ready. We can do a live debate on a radio show if you want. That should be fun. I've been studying this stuff for a very long time, and my goal always was, give me the truth, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much it goes against the norms of the day. I want to know the truth, because I see people suffering all around me, within my own family, within my own circle of friends and neighbors. People are suffering everywhere. Why? Because they don't love the Father. They do not love and adhere to His commandments, and they're not being taught the truth of His commandments. How many people are putting opioids in their bodies today? And what does Scripture say about putting poisonous substances in your body? Don't do it. Again, admixture. You're putting impurities within the temple. Yeah, you are the temple, folks. You and I are the living temples of the Holy Spirit. We're the temples He's talking about. You don't bring pollution into your temple. You don't eat GMO foods. You don't eat hybrid foods. They're poisons. You don't eat foods sprayed with glyphosate and all these other Jewish-created chemicals. It's poison. Well, how do I find the good stuff? You're going to have to work. Imagine that. You're going to have to do a little digging. You're going to have to read labels. You're going to have to do a little searching on companies, whether they're Jewish-owned or not, because I'll guarantee you the Jewish ones, for the most part anyway, are going to lie. Who do you think got in there and got the legislators to change the definition of organic? Got to change the definition of natural flavors so they could hide things like monosodium glutamate, which again is a poison, which by the way also is a fattening agent. Take a look at the beaches lately and you can see that's at work. Again, subtly hiding the truth from you, but you can find the truth, but you got to do the work. You have to do some digging. You have to do what all the rest of us have done for decades and decades. You dig, you claw, you search, you never-ending search for truth. And each little diamond of truth, each little nugget of gold that you come across, you pick it up and you put it in your little bag of remembrance. Yeah, it's hard to find them, but when you find them, you keep picking them up, and pretty soon you have a bag of very valuable little golden nuggets. And those are the things that you hang on to in the storm that we're in now. Because there's a lot of stuff being put out there, and a lot of it is bullshit. Hang on to your little bag of golden nuggets of truth, and hang on to your associates, your brothers and sisters in Yahweh, who have been faithful to the truth as long as you've known them. There's your ark for the last days. The ark formed by your relationships with true believers, true adherence to the Father's commandments. And as Malachi talks of Elijah for the latter days, that you will be called back into the family of his sons and daughters. And as you come back into the family, you also come back to worship him as he should have been worshiped all along. I like what Ella has just put on here. She's a retired nurse, nursing career of almost 40 years. Very, very intelligent, deep digger. Pregnant woman should never even drink wine, but it's okay to put a poison jab in them. Boy, does that hit home, right? So, in the medical world, they know that a woman has to be very careful while she carries a child. She should not be smoking. She should not overdo things like salt, especially table salt, or even white sugar. And she should never even put alcohol in her body. Ideally, while the child's growing, you would not put these foreign substances in here, but you'll run down and put a Jewish jab in your arm of complete toxic material. Why? Because the propaganda is mind-numbing. It is so strong today. Mind-numbing. Again, hang on to the little golden nuggets that you have garnered, found, saved, picked up over the years. Hang on to those little nuggets. And again, I've told newcomers, because we're late in the game, they may not be able to do the deep diving that you and I have done for so long. I said, if you don't have the time, just study the Ten Commandments. That's a good start. What they really say. Just that one section in Exodus. That's all. Just focus on that to start with. And then for comfort, find a good English translation of the Psalms and the Proverbs. Okay? For right now, especially for newbies, that is a good starting point. Get the Ten Commandments down verbatim. Get the truth, the intent. Remember, the wording of a law is not important. It's not. It's the intent of a law that's important. Because silver-tongued devils, aka Jews, can play with the meanings of words. But it's difficult to change the intent of a law. You see, they always want to get into the word sorcery side of it because that's their forte. Okay? Satan, their father, gave them the ability to confuse and confound with the language. They use language to lie and propagandize. However, it's difficult for them to change the intent. If you understand the intent of what the law was supposed to do. The Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution is a perfect example. The intent of the Second Amendment is well known by those who study American history, but the Jews never talk about the intent of the Founding Fathers. They talk about the wording of it and try to put modern definitions on words that were used almost 300 years ago. Just as in Scripture. They put modern definitions on words that were used thousands of years ago to try to lead you astray. The deceivers, the great deceivers. And our people do suffer from a lack of truth, from a lack of knowledge or truth, and suffer from a lack of vision. My people suffer from a lack of vision. You can't even visualize a pure world. You've lost the ability. You can't even visualize a world where your fruits are not hybrids and they're not poisoned. they're actual from Yahweh himself, where you can pick it off and eat it right off a tree, and it's full of nutrients. Because the world is run by the merchants who are in bed with your man-made governments, the virus today. They are in bed together. And all of them are under the thumb of the international financiers, the bankers. He who controls the money controls the nation, so goes the quote. So again, in this world, it boils down to very simple terms, folks. You either deal with the truth or you suffer the consequences. It's really that simple. Really that simple. Don't get all confused with all the propaganda. Turn it off, actually. You'd be better off just meditating, praying to the Father, reading your scriptures, and reading the few things coming from sources that you can trust. You'd be better off not even listening to any of this garbage, even the good stuff, or at least what we think is good stuff. You'd be better off not. Because remember, he said, I will send a comforter to you. Or don't you believe that? I will send you a comforter, who is what? The Holy Spirit. The separated or consecrated Spirit of our Father, the creator of all things, including you and me. This is his world. This is his plan coming to pass. If you don't want the evil that's out there to touch you, then get in touch with the Father. And allow his spirit to guide you so that you do not fall into the pit, so that you are not put upon by the wicked. Because the Father hates the wicked as much as you and I. But again, the wicked is here as a punishment. Punishment comes from us not obeying him. You want the punishment to go away? You want these Jews and their nefarious activities to go up like a puff of smoke? Come back to the Father and obey him. When we do that in mass, the Jew has no more power. When we will do the right thing, regardless of money, giving money no thought whatsoever, just doing the right thing for the right reasons, the Jew loses his power instantly. I personally have seen that happen in courtrooms in this country, where Jewish lawyers, Jewish judges were present. They had the look of terror on their faces when they realized you were a son of the Most High and you knew who they were and you knew their tactics. It was terrifying to them. What do you think they're going to do when there's millions of us, not just one or two, trapped inside their courthouse with all of their sycophants and their lapdogs carrying badges and guns? If they're terrified in that situation, what do you think happens when millions of us say, Jews, you can keep your electronic shekels because I don't care anymore. We're going to do the right thing. Your electronic shekels are no longer wanted. We want to bring this world back into alignment with the laws of the Creator. So you can take your shekels and shove them where the sun doesn't shine. It's an attitude, ladies and gentlemen. Attitude. Attitude is everything. You want your relationship with the Father to be right? Then get the right attitude. Learn humility. You want your relationships with your men and women in your life? It's attitude. People want somebody with a good attitude around them. Positive energy, good vibrations, helpfulness. They don't want the Debbie Downers, the constantly bitching and negative, the people who are condescending when you don't agree with them. It's all attitude. I'm going to throw one more in here. Why do I know what I know? Well, personal study, of course, is part of it. But a lot of what I know is wisdom that's been given to me by people that I've run into who have shared their life's experience. And why did they do that? Because I was never condescending to them. I never belittled anybody, no matter what story they told me, ever. I showed empathy to them and their situation, and they appreciated that. And number one reason they did it is because I never gossiped about the person. I might use the information they gave, as I do on this program many times. You don't know it, but that's where it's coming from, these interviews, these discussions. I might share the information because it could help another person, but never do I tie the information to an individual. That's gossiping. That's betraying a trust. And that you do not do, ever, under any circumstances. Right? Don't betray the trust. You don't gossip. And besides what the scripture tells us about gossipers, they're in the same group that will not come into the kingdom as are murderers, liars, cowards, deceivers, etc. Just remember that. So these few principles, put them to work in your life and you will be shocked at what a positive change it will create. You will be utterly shocked. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We just pray that your words and your truth and your commandments will reach our brothers and sisters all over this earth. For those who are not part of our racial family, we pray that your truths will reach their ears as well, because these truths apply to all things upon this earth. And those who are in obedience to you will see the blessings that come from it. But those who resist, those who try to interfere with your plan and your law, they will see the punishment for the wicked. This Babylonian system will be burnt to the ground, and all who partake in it will go down with her. But that will bring a day of righteousness and a new beginning upon this earth, when the righteous stand firm in obedience to you, Father, to learning your ways and implementing rather than the ways of wicked and corrupt men. To that end, we ask that you would be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom in this sick world that we live in. We ask that you would forgive us our stumblings, our failures, the times that we don't adhere to your rules. Help us to be better at that. Stay strong. Stay on the right path, the narrow path that leads to salvation from harm on this earth. And to help others get on that right path. And we pray an imprecatory prayer on the heads of the wicked that walk amongst us. We would pray that you would curse them in body and soul. Curse them with illness and mental instability and paranoia and schizophrenia. We pray that you would curse them in their financial dealings. We pray that you would curse them until finally they're dead in the ground where they belong. Help us and guide us again, Father, in all that we do. In Yahweh's name we do ask and pray, and always, Father, please protect us from our enemies. Hallelujah.
Didn't come in glory. The author of the oceans and the sun, no crown upon his head. He came like us instead. Emmanuel, he meets you where you are. He holds your heavy heart. Our God is with us all. Without a home, helpless as a baby. So if we're feeling lost in our own lives, we are not alone. He has felt the same things because he lived in flesh and blood. We
long to see you. mountains away, o'er the hills and far away. Me mare petera ali. From across the isles to Inverness, on Highland Hill, the sun she sets. Me mare petera. And I sing, oh, Scotland calls, Scotland calls. I sing, oh, Scotland calls, Scotland calls. From across the ocean.
Yahweh for winter, we praise Yahweh for spring, we praise Yahweh for a summer day and the fruits the harvest brings, and we praise Yahweh for the good and the bad in every little thing. But most of all, we praise Yahweh within the prayers and the songs we sing.
We praise Yahweh for the good and the bad in everything. We praise Yahweh for the summer time, for winter and spring. We praise Yahweh for these latter days and what they may bring. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing.
When stubborn doors won't open and you're restrained from passing through, hearts and minds get broken and you don't know what to do, that's when you realize that your spirit cries and the Father's there for you. So sing your songs and pray your prayers unto the one who is always true.
We praise Yahweh for the good and the bad and everything. We praise Yahweh for the summertime, for winter and spring. We praise Yahweh for these latter days and what they may bring. We praise Yahweh for every day within the prayers and the songs we sing.
Wine can make you stumble, and pride can make you fall. And it's bound to make you humble if you've ever lost it all. But if you trust in faith and his saving grace, you shall rise and hear his call. So in all things give him thanks and praise, winter, springtime, summer and fall. We praise Yahweh for the good and the bad in everything. We praise Yahweh for the summertime, for winter and spring. We praise Yahweh for these latter days and what they may bring. We praise Yahweh for every day. Within the prayers and the songs we sing, we praise Yahweh for every day. Within the prayers and the songs we sing.